We begin in London. Sound there of continuing violence in London, although in general, the 16,000 police officers deployed in the capital of the UK last night relatively kept the peace compared with the last three nights. But for four nights running, there's been violence somewhere in the UK, and the trend seemed to escalate in other cities outside of London. Joining us now is Alan Cowell, senior correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How do we fix the trend line here? It seems as though things improved measurably in London, not so much in other cities.
Well, what happened, of course, is a lot of police officers were taken away from other cities to reinforce the police presence in London. So you had 16,000 officers on the streets here last night. You had stores closing early. I drove along Tottenham Court Road and through Camden yesterday afternoon, and most of the stores were shuttered well before they would normally have been. So the number of targets was reduced, and the police presence was much higher. In other cities, such as Manchester and Birmingham, you had a copycat violence where people had seen what happened in London and figured they could do the same. The motives of the looters and rioters are still very, very unclear, but it seems evident that if the authorities are not able to have what they call a robust response, then the rioting will take root.
Give us a sense of what are the conversations like among law enforcement trying to figure out what's going to happen next, or what is even the motive of this sort of violence. And I'm wondering if British society in general has access to the neighborhoods and the voices who are actually expressing the violence, or if it's an unknown to most people in Britain.
I don't think it's unknown that there's a lot of people in Britain live at a relatively low economic level. They live in housing projects in areas that, compared to other parts of Europe, would be regarded as extremely seedy. I travel a lot between continental Europe and Britain, and the differences are sometimes quite remarkable. I think, though, that a lot of people accept that that's the way things are, and try to get on with their lives. The minority who have been carrying out this violence clearly think differently. We shouldn't forget that it's only a matter of months since the other end of the scale, college graduates, would-be college students, were also expressing themselves extremely violently when the tuition fees at state universities were raised, tripled from £3,000 to £9,000 a year. So there is a broad sense that people cannot improve their lives through the formal channels and can resort to violence to either express themselves or make their views known. But what, from the police point of view, from the law enforcement point of view, and the government's point of view, they're very keen to say that these social problems may be dealt with later, but at the moment, what you're dealing with is pure criminality, pure thuggery, and looting and theft from usually electrical goods stores or shops selling sneakers, the latest sporting clothing. These have been particular targets, flat-screen televisions, emblems of consumerism, which has long been a mainstay of the British economy.
As stated there by Alan Cowell, senior correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, economic malaise throughout the United Kingdom being expressed as criminality in the words of the government. Alan, thanks so much. So the analysis of what is going on, should the social problems be discussed or put aside, you couldn't find a better contrast of approaches than in the words first of Prime Minister David Cameron yesterday.
Scenes of people attacking police officers and even attacking fire crews as they're trying to put out fires. This is criminality, pure and simple, and it has to be confronted and defeated.
Conservative Prime Minister David Cameron, from a different side of the political spectrum and with a completely different analysis, former Mayor of London Ken Livingstone said this.
I think the government hasn't understood the scale of problems young people are facing. If you're an older person, you've got a home, you've got a job, that's fine. But a generation is coming through that are looking at the bleakest future, perhaps for 100 years.
So, is it criminality or sociology? Eugene White joins us, economics professor at Rutgers University, right here in Somerset, New Jersey, down the road from us here in New York. Eugene, how do you approach this?
Well, it today we're not. Not only do we have, if we look at the U.S., we don't just have a recession and high unemployment, but we're also in a period of rising income inequality, where most of the economic gains are accumulating to the top. So we're almost at a point which we haven't seen since the period since the Great Depression.
And does that argue that we're going to see the same kinds of scenes here as they're seeing in London?
Well, not necessarily. But the similarities between, I mean, the background between the U.S. and Britain are very similar in the sense that, just to show you the dimensions of this, if you look at the top 10% of households in the U.S. before 1940, they were receiving about 45% of national income. After the Great Depression, this fell to about 35%, and then it's been slowly rising since 1985, and it's even more concentrated at the top. If you look at the top 1% of the households, they used to receive 20% before the Great Depression. It fell to 10%, and it's now rising back to 20%. So most of the gains are accumulating to the top, but not to the bottom. That has to be very frustrating.
So as a social historian or an economist or a sociologist even, you would maybe not be able to predict the precise expression of the dissatisfaction, but you would absolutely agree that there is a latency there, that the pressure is building somewhere.
Yes, that's right. If there's no possibility for gain, there's going to be frustration, and some people will be unemployed, others won't see their income rising. And it really depends what kind of programs you may be able to offer. I thought it was very interesting to see that Mayor Bloomberg in New York has tried to generate a private program, which is targeted at minority youth in New York to try and provide them with more skills and education, which is a private way of trying to address some of these problems.
Anticipating lessons that they're learning over in Britain, absolutely, this week. Eugene Wright is an economics professor at Rutgers University. Thanks so much, Professor.
Thank you.
Following the situation in London and thinking about our own backyard.